Good morning. Good to see everybody today. Great. We're talking about anniversaries. So in 1 week and one day, it is Linda and the Phantom Wife and my, our anniversary. I do know how many. It's 35. That's one of the rounded off ones there. And so if we make it another little over a week, it will be 35 years. So I celebrate that with you guys, and that's been an interesting ride. And so God, we're praying to God for at least a few more on that. Talking about the clock on the wall back there, years ago, my father-in-law was a deacon in this local Baptist church there. You know how all deacons are assigned a certain, you know, task there and things of that nature. His task was a little bit before Sunday morning to get a small ladder and get up there on that clock, run it forward about 10 minutes. So preacher would look up there and think, it's 10 minutes later. I asked him once, I said, how many years did you get away with that? He goes, always a bunch. It was a bunch of years. So I said, did he ever find out? He said, yeah. He said, that was about the time we left. I always wondered why. I just, well, you stopped going to that church after a while, didn't you? He goes, yeah, it was. So but he said, but I got away with it for a long time. So that's one way to do it. That's one way to do it. So all right. Well, speaking of time, it is time to for a new year checkup. A new year checkup. That's what we're going to do today. And so we'll be looking at that. Let's ask God's blessing before we get into that, though. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today, to be here with brothers and sisters of like mind. To be able to encourage each other, to build each other up in this long walk in the same direction that you've called us to, Father, that faith walk that where we're growing closer to you, Lord, because that's what we want to do today. So, Father, as you see fit to give us the opportunity to study your word today, we just pray that it'll be your words that will be heard, that your Holy Spirit will live and work among us in such a way as to accomplish everything that you would have to happen today, Father. So we thank you for that, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So even though, there's the animation, good. Yeah, Happy New Year again, because we're going to get this New Year checkup today, kind of see where we are. I had the privilege of speaking to you shortly before or right around New Year's earlier this year, and we put a few parables out there for you in the form of some 80s movies, and we're going to go back and look at that and just kind of see, well, how are we doing? You know, how are we doing there? We don't want to forget the 1818s. Again, we've been having a lot of fun seeing the consistent message that works through Scripture, even in just choosing some random chapter 18, verse 18 verses, starting with Genesis 18:18. So just to remind you that so far we found out that we are called as Abraham's heirs to bless the nations. We're also called to fulfill the role of both kings, priests, and prophets, just as Jesus was. We are his ambassadors. We are his agents there. And so because of that, we have this really good job to do. Isn't it good to have good stuff to do, good and productive stuff to do there? And so one of the things that we're doing as prophets and as priests and as kings is that we're helping to break this cycle of sin out there. That just as we saw played out in the life of the nation of Israel with this constant falling into this bad cycle of sin, and then they would cry out to God, and then God would hear them, and then God would deliver them. Then there'd be this period of silence where they would forget about God and fall right back into it again. Is that as these kings, priests, and prophets, as we bring God's good order into this world and speak it into the lives of other people, and most importantly, model God's good order here, that we're breaking that cycle of sin there. Because Scripture calls it what? The sin that so easily encumbers us. the sin that's just so easy to fall into, you know, because it's easy to fall back into bad habits. So we're helping to do that. And as we've learned from the life of David, both in the time that we spent together and even in the Sunday morning classes that we've been having there, that David is a man after God's own heart because he lives in humility. Okay, when he is confronted with his sin, he fesses up to it. Unlike Saul, who kills himself, as we saw this morning in our class, you know, David takes a different route. He recognizes it when he falls short. And in Psalm 51, we see him cry out to God in that wonderful prayer, "Be merciful to me, O God, according to your steadfast love." And that's such a great prayer for all of us. And it's a heart that seeks God, and it's a heart that we're seeking there. So we'll just put that up there as a little reminder today. We'll come back to that next month. For today, how's it going? How's it going in 2018 for you so far? We're just about midway through. And so as we contemplate how things are going and life's direction, some of the challenges that we might face, some of you guys may be thinking about college, right? Making college decisions, thinking about next year in school, whatever it what might be, whether it's high school, whether it's college. Those are big decisions to be made. John mentioned about his son making those decisions about, is it going to be more music or is it going to be medical school? By the way, more music majors are accepted to med school than biology majors. True story. True story. Which means music makes you smart. So get as much music in as you can. Now, that's a little self-ingratiating. I'm a music teacher, so okay, sorry. Busted. That is a true stat, though, however. So, yeah, good stuff. We're all making those decisions, you know. Some may be thinking about, you know, marriage and contemplating having children or having more children. You got grandchildren in your life for the first time, like me, you know, and all of those kind of fun things going on. Life is constantly changing. We're constantly making those decisions. And so what we're doing is seeking God on that. So on most days, this is what you look like, right? I'm on top of the world. Everything's great, right? Well, some days are like that. It'd be great if every day was like that. Some days are like this. Dolls told me to have a good day, so I went home. Yeah, I feel that way sometimes too. Or maybe this is how your New Year's resolutions came about. Time to renew that gym membership that we're never going to use. Yeah. People make it look easy sometime. Oh, you're one of those people who is worried about looking like you have a good life instead of actually having one. Good luck with that. Yeah. There was a lot of that going on, you know, when I was growing up. Keeping up with the Joneses. Put on your Sunday best. The important thing was to look good. Not necessarily that everything was, you know, good. You know, hopefully we're doing a little more transparency, you know, with that. We think about our dreams. Dream of a girl's dream, find the perfect guy. You know, please. Every girl's dream is to get thin eating cupcakes. Hey, I get that. It's not just the girls. I'd like to get thin eating cupcakes there. Wouldn't that be great? Well, the point is, we're all contemplating this future that we just don't always know what the future holds. It looks a little scary. The writer of Ecclesiastes, you know, way back in the day, he agreed with that, right? Yes, there's a right time and way for everything, even though, unfortunately, we miss it for the most part. It's true that no one knows what's going to happen or when. Who's around to tell us? No one can control the wine or wind, excuse me. Anyway, no one can control the wind or lock it in a box. It makes us anxious here. But there is one person who holds the future and holds it there in his hand. And this is why this artifact here is so important to me. It sat on my late father's desk for his entire life. And it sits on mine today May God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, I got to look at stuff like that every day. These are the kinds of things that keep us grounded, because it's rooted in what God has told us. That's a scriptural concept there. Okay. So again, we've got these parables, these modern day parables, and we picked three 80s movies themes here just to remind us of these things, that there's ways that God helps us with this. Daniel, Karate Kid, Daniel's son, you know, he moves to a new city. He's just with his mom, and the main thing is what? He doesn't have a father, you know. We need fathers, you know. We need mothers, too. It's good that he has the mother. We need mothers and fathers here. Somebody had to step up and stand in the gap for him, okay? So to achieve the things he needed to achieve, he needed a mentor, right? And so the mentor is getting him to do things he doesn't even understand. Everybody remember? You know, paint the fence, sand the floor, wax on, wax off. He's doing what seemed to be just menial chores, but what's really happening here? He's mentoring him. He's training him, actually, in these martial art skills, but he doesn't even know that until later when he can put them into use. What's God doing in your life right now that seems really mundane? You know, you're just kind of getting up, and it just kind of seems like life. But God's actually using that to train you for some of the big things ahead of you, okay? You don't have to look at those things as mundane. Look at that as God's preparation for you for that big tournament, that big event. We all have them in our lives. Just like Daniel had the big karate tournament. There are seminal moments in your life, and you all can make testimony of that. I could ask you right now about these big moments in your life when you knew that was the time that God had prepared you for. And if God hadn't prepared you, then how would you have known what to do? But God led you to make the right decision. And if you didn't make the right decision, you learned from it so that the next time around, you knew better. You knew better. But it just kind of seemed like that was just kind of the, you know, mundane, you know, type things of life there. See, we all need mentors. Here's one of mine. This is Tron. It's another Asian fella, you know, just by coincidence. What is it about these Asian guys that really know how to mentor people? See, I'm trying to learn how to play pickleball, okay? And Tron is a pickleball expert. Okay, it looks like it's pretty easy. It's just, you know, got the big wiffle ball there, and, you know, you're playing it on a court that kind of looks like a smaller, you know, tennis court. But there's some real nuances, you know, to the game. And Tron knows how to, you know, he's just really good at these paddle racket sports and things, and knows how to, you know, apply the right, you know, control to the ball and get it over the net in such a way that it comes over. And he's got that real Karate Kid mentor kind of attitude to him, too. I guess it's just a cultural difference. They're just, you know, it just tends to be very blunt. No, 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 you don't do that. You know, you forget about the lob. No, you practice drop shot. You know, kind of got that broken English, you know, type thing like there. And he just very bluntly, you know, tell you. You know, he'll catch you on those things. But he's very, very focused on what? Helping you to become a very good pickleball player, because that's his focus here. See, we all need these kinds of people in our lives. We see it over and over again in the Bible, don't we? Jethro mentored Moses. Why was Moses at some point prepared to lead an entire nation? Well, he had a father-in-law who took him under his wing and showed him things, you know. They all seem very mundane for all those 40 years or whatever that he spent in Midian or, you know, wherever he was. Correct me if I've got some of the locations wrong on that. I'm just kind of doing that off the top of my head. But, you know, he had to prepare, you know, for that. Samuel's mother gives him up, which must have been one of the tough, what had to be the hardest thing, you know, a mother could possibly do, and gave him up to Eli, what? So that he could be mentored. He could be prepared. She gave him, she consecrated him to the Lord, all right? After David was mentored, he turns around and mentors others, like his army commanders. The only reason why they could be successful in battle is he what? He showed them how to do it. You know, all that stuff doesn't come natural to you. Elijah mentions Elisha. So that he's ready to take over there when the time comes. And these people in turn turn around and mentor other people. I love the story of how Mordecai mentors Esther. Because Esther does what? She saves all of her people. You know, she's only prepared to go before the king because Mordecai has prepared her for that moment. And he says to her, he puts a vision into her life saying, who knows that God didn't bring you about at this point for just such a moment as this. You know? Again, have you had those moments in your life? I think that you have. I think we can all give testimony to those moments. Okay, God has brought this about just for this moment. And so what? Now I'm prepared. In faith, I can walk into that. But we cannot do it. We could not do it if there weren't people helping us with that. Right? You know, this is why Jesus could mentor 12 people. And then they could, as Paul would say later on, turn the world upside down. These 12 would turn around and mentor Paul. So as we see here in 1 Corinthians 4, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, what? I became your father through the gospel. See, there's these relationships that we make when we connect with people through what we're doing here and through this faith walk that we go through. And so what does Paul say? He says, therefore I urge you to imitate me. I'm modeling this for you. Walk with me through this, okay? For this reason, I've sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful to the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So this mentoring has a ripple effect. This person mentors this one. They turn around and mentor this one. They turn around and mentor this one. They turn around again. And it just goes on and on. And it's really, really cool. And it's really, really important. Here's one in my life right there. Okay? Speaking of anniversaries, I had the privilege of going to Jim and Donna Reynolds' 50th wedding anniversary just last Sunday. So there's me and the Phantom wife. Okay? And we're standing there with them on their 50th wedding anniversary. And people had a chance to share and just speak about the impact that they've had on their life. Jim has been my preacher slash pastor since 1989, since right before the birth of my first child, okay? I lost my dad at 23. It's really, really super important that God puts people in the gap there to serve that function in your life. If I didn't have Jim and Donna Reynolds in my life, I wouldn't have had that spiritual father and that spiritual mother. I mean, for sure, God could have used somebody else. Don't get me wrong there. But I'm saying this is who he chose, okay? This is the person he put in my life to fill that role of a spiritual father there. And so to be there for their 50th wedding anniversary, one thing I said to his kids, he has two kids, I said, thank you for sharing your mother and father with us, okay? Because of that, you've got a whole bunch of spiritual brothers and sisters, yeah? Because you shared them, you know, with us. So their influence is far beyond their immediate family. It also includes, you know, many, many others. So it's appropriate to ask the question this morning, folks, who are you mentoring? Are we being intentional about this? Okay. Who are you reaching out to do that? And then secondly, who's mentoring you? Doesn't matter how old you are. You're never too old to be mentored. You know, there's always somebody out there who's walked a little bit ahead of you on that, okay? So we need to have that happening in both areas, in both sides of us, so to speak, you know. Paul had the original 12 that he would go and consult with, but then he also had his Timothy and Titus and all of that, all of those that he was mentoring there. So super important that we have somebody to prepare us for the big karate tournaments in life. Because they're coming. They're coming. They're not going to stop. We're going to continue to have those seminal moments. Now, in the process of doing that, we can't be moving too fast. Because as we learned in another 1980s parable, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. All right. So Ferris takes a day off there. Stop. Smell the roses. All right. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. To not be so preoccupied with getting so that, watch, you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how He works. Continuing, steep your life in God reality. God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get so worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. We weren't much into catechisms when I was growing up. I'm not sure I knew what a catechism was in the church that I grew up in. I love this out of the Westminster Catechism. It's where, you know, you learn these questions and the proper response. And the question is, what is the chief end of man? The answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So what is this grace that we rest in? I believe Paul talks about it in this kind of confusing passage in Romans 9. We've had all kinds of interesting discussions in the past about Romans 9 and election and all of these. I'm not even worried about that right now, only then focusing on a few things here, if you'll do this with me. In the passage, if God needs one style of pottery, especially designed to show His angry displeasure, and another style, carefully crafted to show His glorious goodness, isn't that all right? Either or both happens to Jews, whether it happens to other people. Hosea put it well. I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies. I'll call the unloved and make them beloved. In the place where they were yelled out, "You're nobody," now they're calling you God's living children. This is the identity that God has for you, the identity that God's had for me. I just want to submit to you, folks, we can rest in that. We are not the objects of God's wrath. We are not the object of God's wrath. Because of what Jesus did, that's taken care of there. We are called God's living children. You can get up out of bed each and every morning as God gives you health, okay? Look at the mirror and say, "I am God's living child," okay? God's not mad at me. God doesn't have it in for me. God loves me. And He's got great stuff for me today, regardless of my immediate life circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean life circumstances are always going to be great. They weren't real great for Neil Griffith, you know, because for Neil Page, because he met Del Griffith. This is not a family film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, so I'm not recommending it as such, but it's a great parable. It's because, as you remember the story, Neil Page gets thrust into having to be with this very obnoxious Del Griffith character as he's traveling here. He gets so fed up with him at some point, he says, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. I have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener because the big Del Griffith character just tends to be so obnoxious and talking all the time and, you know, all of this sort of thing. But now in the process of this little parable, we find out what? There's a reason why Del Griffith is the way that he is. We find out at the movie at some point that he lost his wife 8 years ago. And he really doesn't have people in his life. He's not connected with anyone, okay? So what's he done? He's poured his whole life into his job, his whole identity into his job. Now, jobs are important. The way that we earn our living, I mean, we have to have money, we got to pay the bills and all these kinds of things. But one thing we have to remember is, if you love your job will never love you back. You know? You can love your job all you want, your job will never love you back. Okay, that's why God puts people in your life. And as God put Del Griffith in Neil Page's life here, he finally began to see him for the person that he is, and they made a connection with each other. So much that Neil invites him home for Thanksgiving dinner with him there. You see, Neil learned how to show hospitality to him, just like God calls us to hospitality with people. 3 John 1:5, dear friend, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, and even those that are not Christian brothers and sisters, even when they're strangers, what happens? You make your faith visible. You make your faith visible. See, the one reason why I guess I've connected as much to Jim and Donna Reynolds as I have, I'm in their life group. They open up their home to me every week with a bunch of other Christians where we actually have time to sit down with each other and actually get to know each other, you know, outside of church. You know, church is great. I'm glad that we do it. But we also, what? We need times when we're getting together each other, preferably in each other's homes, because that's when real connection takes place. There are times when we sit around in their living room and there's nothing but silence for a while. Because, you know, the idea is to kind of come there and talk about your life and, you know, share with each other about your victories and your struggles and all of this. And sometimes, you know, the week has been so busy. You had one of those weeks where you're too tired to sleep, you know? I mean, you're that tired. And sometimes we're just kind of all sitting there kind of decompressing and stuff. And so what we're committed to, we're just going to be quiet until the Holy Spirit shows up. And the good thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit does always show up. But sometimes you got to wait on it and stuff. And then finally, somebody will generally speak up and just begin to talk about some things. And it could be about struggles in your marriage. It could be talk about struggles in your job with your kids. It could be victories like we talk about here, you know, good things, you know, that go on as well. But sooner or later, people start opening up. You see, in the year 1990, Jim Reynolds came to that church in about 1985. About 5 years later, Jim will tell you that in 1990, I finally decided to join the church. Now, what did he mean by that? He was just putting on a front. He was having crazy, crazy thoughts in his head, because that's what sin is. It's just insanity. It's just craziness, you know. He was thinking about divorcing his wife. You know, he had convinced himself that monogamy is not natural for men. You know, just being with one woman, that's just not natural. You know, I mean, you know, come on. Well, it was crazy stuff. Well, he started talking about this stuff in the home group. I wasn't in the home group at that point, but, you know, he'll share this with you. And so finally, this stuff started coming out to the extent that he could actually start sharing it with the church. And here you had the preacher who's supposed to be perfect. You know, right? That's the way we grew up, you know. He's up there in front of the church sharing about these struggles. And he says, you know what? You can fire me if you want to. You know, if it's a shock to you to find out I'm not perfect, go ahead and fire me, okay? But the thing is, this is the kind of struggles that I'm happening. And I need the Holy Spirit to show up, and with the help of you, I need help walking through this. And you know what happened? He wasn't fired. People actually started coming out of the woodwork saying, you know what? I have some crazy thoughts too. I have some sin struggles in my life. And I guess I can finally start talking about it because the preacher's talking about it. And the whole and there was a move of the Spirit over that church since the year 1990 that it's just I can just tell you as somebody who's been there, it's just been amazing. See, it was that authenticity and that transparency of Jim Reynolds that set the stage, that set the tone for the Holy Spirit to come in and really start working. I can tell you today, we just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. Something good happened, right? The marriage lasted. The marriage is really good. The marriage is really good right now. And Donna's really good, and Jim is really good in that. It's still not perfect. They both still have struggles, just like you have struggles, I have struggles, all these kinds of things. You know, we all get that, right? But the authenticity, the transparency. See, that's what happens when people get together in their homes with each other and they start honestly sharing about these things. Okay? That's what practicing hospitality does. So I just leave that with you this morning, as I did earlier in the year. God has good things for us in 2018, regardless of our circumstances. And when it gets weird, let's trust Him. Okay? Life moves pretty fast, but let's relax. Okay? God has us covered. All right? And then finally, let's extend hospitality. Even people who get on your nerves can teach you something. And in the process of getting to know each other, that's when we begin to be real and start telling people who we really are, as opposed to some little face I put on Sunday morning so that people will think I'm cool. I'm not cool, you know. That's what everybody needs to know, and I think that's when we start to connect with people. So as we continue to do that and build on that, it's Jesus who was the ultimate in honesty and transparency. If you want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior today, He'll help us with that as we help each other. So we're going to sing a song in just a second. If you want to respond to that and accept Jesus, there's baptism here, and you can be baptized into Him, and we invite you to do that. We're also going to have a time of prayer later when we do talk about maybe some struggles and some different things that are going on. And we invite you to participate in that as well. So if you need to respond to this in any way this morning, we're praying and hoping that you do that as we stand and while we sing. Thanks.